But on many occasions Abraham wins, and a new soul is added to Christ's church. Before he left, I went out to my car and brought Abraham the Giant Killer the rest of the Bulgarian Bibles I had brought with me. He would know what to do with them. Abraham held the Bibles as he might have held a baby. He did not say thanks, but the words he did say have remained with me to this day. His blue eyes burned into mine as Petrov translated for him. "The front line is long, brother. Here we must give a little, there we may advance. This day, Andrew from Holland, we have made an advance." The balance of that first trip to Bulgaria was spent visiting the tiny, non-registered underground churches. "Strengthen the things that remain" became more than ever a command that haunted my sleep. How courageous they were, this remnant of the church, how heedless of self, how utterly alone. Three ministers especially stand out in my memory from those weeks: Constantine, Armin, and Basil. Constantine had been in prison for 18 months for baptizing converts who were under 21 years of age. He had just been released. Constantine told me that the night after his release he had taken 27 teenagers out of town and baptized them secretly in a river in the country. Armin knew there were government observers in his congregation at Christmas time, so he was careful in no way to transgress the law against evangelizing children. "Speak only to adults. Keep away from politics." But in one unguarded moment, Armin looked down at the children who were seated beneath the church's Christmas tree and asked, "Do you know why we give each other presents at this time of the year? It is to symbolize the greatest gift of all." For those two sentences, he was brought to trial and removed from his pulpit. Basil was notorious for working hand in glove with the secret police. Petrov had taken me to his service one Sunday so that I could have a chance to see the puppet church in action. The congregation of the church had dwindled steadily since the war. Basil was complaining about this to us before the service when suddenly, with no change in his expression, he said to me, "Would you like to hold a meeting here this afternoon?" I could not be sure that I had heard right. Basil knew as well as I that unregistered preachers were not allowed to hold meetings. What had gotten into the man? I'll have to pray about that," I told him. And pray I did, furiously, all through the service. Was this some kind of trap? Suppose he had set this up with the police to get me out of the country? And yet the answer I seemed to be getting with great clarity was a ringing, "Go ahead." At the close of the service, Basil announced to the handful of people in the congregation that the brother from Holland was going to hold a special meeting that afternoon.